Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
This hour brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com. It's Dukes and Bell. Coming up, Steve Coonan's going to join us. But we want you to hear what Brian Snicker had to say to Steak and Sandra today. And part of this is the decision. And did he feel like this was a countdown, feeling like this was the end? Here's what Brian Snicker said.
Yeah, so, man, all the above, honestly. I went into this thinking it was going to be my last year. And that was kind of the plan. That was the mindset that I had. And then, you know, and it's like I told the guys, you know, in press conferences, I said, it's the first time I've ever been through this. I don't know that anybody in this business is ever ready to walk away. But I pretty much, you know what, if you'd asked me in April, May, June, July, absolutely, this was going to be the last. And I think as you get closer to the end, you still keep thinking, it's like, well, maybe I can do this another year. And then, honestly, after the third out on Sunday, I got home a couple days and I started to detox a little bit. And you know what, as I'm sitting here today with y'all, it was the right time. I can tell now that, you know, as I'm just cleaning the garage out yesterday and going and watching the boys practice and going to Hank's flag football practice tonight after, you know, being able to do that all summer and the spring and everything, I think this was the right time.
You know, I thought it resonated with me when you talked about it. And, you know, Sandra and I are getting to be men and women of a certain age. I never thought about it before, but you have been a slave to that baseball schedule for 50 years, and the notion and freedom of maybe we'll go to this game, maybe we'll go visit folks for 5 days, maybe we'll hit a cruise, maybe we'll go to the U.S. Open. Like, the notion that that you and Ronnie can all of a sudden have a sense of freedom, which I hear folks who get retired say, it's just awesome. I can kind of do what I want to do when I want to do it. And is that why you feel so confident now as you start to think about it?
Yeah. You know what? When my daughter told me, she said, when you tell these kids, they're going to have a fit. And so I got them all together. I picked them up from school and I took them back to their house. And I said, you know, it was kind of hard. It's like herding cats when you get them over there. And I sat them down on the couch and I said, you know what, fellas? I said, next year when you go to the Braves game, I'm going with you. And then they looked and they got a big smile on their face and said, you're not going to manage next year? And I said, no. And she said, does that mean you come to our games in the spring and summer? And I said, yes. And you know what? I'll just remember the smile on their faces. And you know what? I'll know it's been the right thing to do.
Because for kids, as nice it is to have a famous granddad and have nice setup in the clubhouse, they just want you to be their grandfather, which probably means you getting to be there and talk about why they had a double in the fourth inning and grab ice cream afterward, right?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I mean, it's because they're like two little general managers. I take them home from me from a game, and they're like, Grandpa, why did you do this? Or why did you do that? Or why did he swing at that pitch, that 3-1 pitch in the fourth inning and things like that? So they're really into it, and I think it's going to be a lot of fun to do that. I'm taking the twins to their golf tournament tomorrow morning. We got to get up early, but he's teeing off and playing, you know, and competing in golf. So it's going to be a lot of fun to be able to do that, things like that.
Brian Snicker with us, former manager of the Braves. I do want to clear up one thing real quick. Report this morning, or in Mark Bowman's article yesterday, he said something about after meeting with Alex and Terry, it became clear that there was no reason to entertain the notion of getting an extension, which is a little bit of a play on words, I guess. Was it a mutual decision in the sense that they gave their own input, or was this purely Brian telling them, this is what I want to do? How mutual was
it? Eventually, ultimately, it's going to be my decision, and it was. And I had a long talk with the both of them. It was really good conversation about kind of my afterlife, and you know, as a manager, and it all sounded really good to me, quite honestly. Because like I said, it's one of those things that I think if you wait to retire when you're ready. And it's hard. Yeah, I remember talking to Bobby about that. And I think, I remember him telling me one time, he goes, man, I wouldn't have retired if I knew it was going to feel this good. But then when he stepped into the new role, I was talking to Pam the other day, he said, God, he loved it. And so then pretty much that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to step into the role that he had prior to the stroke. And when he was, when he was in his condition now. So it was me. I'm glad I made the decision. I feel really good about it. There's going to be times, I guarantee you this, and I'm going to spring training. That's the thing. I'm still going to drive to spring training, put on Jesus Christ Superstar and do the whole thing. So I get to be down there and be a part. I told him too, I said, I'm getting to that age where I want to make sure I'm included on that physical every year in the beginning of the season. So, like I said, I'm still going to be around. I told the guys that in the clubhouse the other day, you're not getting rid of me. I'm going to go to spring training and do the same thing I did. I just drive around in a golf cart, except now I'm going to have shorts and a polo on.
World Series winning manager, Mr. Brian Snitker, is on with us. Brian, you know what I was thinking about when you were doing the press conference and I was listening? They fire Freddy Gonzalez, you step in. And then we hear, by the way, you guys are winning. They're so happy in the clubhouse. And then we hear the reports of the Freddie Freemans and among others that went to management and said, we want Brian Snitker. Did you know that was happening at the time?
No, I didn't. Not till after. I remember like it was yesterday. I was driving. We were having organizational meetings in Orlando. I was driving. Bobby was probably a half a mile behind me. We were kind of semi-following each other. That's when I got the call, and the first person I called was Bobby, that was driving behind me. And then after the fact, I found out that the guys had went to Coppy in support of me. I've heard from pretty much all of those guys the last couple of days, and I'm very appreciative of that. Thank God they did. I don't know what way they were going to go. Heck, I didn't know when Alex came on.
No doubt.
He was going to do. Yeah. The first conversation I had was Alex on a Saturday morning at 8:00, and he was in Los Angeles and calling me to introduce himself. He didn't know me. I didn't know him. Like you said the other day, I went to his press conference to introduce myself. And I kind of think that first year was him learning the organization, seeing what was going on there, getting a feel for myself and the staff. Luckily it worked out and we've done really well together.
I will say that sometimes the humility of guys, a lot of guys are like, I got to get my own guy and I'm going to do this and we don't have to go with a Braves guy. Alex Anthopoulos, one of those humble executives, and I think that's part of why he said, I don't need to make a drastic move once I learn about this guy. And that, a lot of guys with somebody like Alex, you'd be worried for your gig here being like, he's got no connection to me or this situation.
Well, absolutely. And you know what? He's charged with that responsibility of building this organization, and he's going to be, responsible for everything that goes on with this. So he's taken a flyer on me and a gamble, and thank God it worked out. Yep. We got through the year and I really, enjoyed working for him. He was so transparent and he checked all the boxes. He's an unbelievably bright guy and got great feel and understands the game. And I think, and he told me more than once that he, you know, learned on the job about the importance of makeup in a clubhouse and on a, of a player and things like that. And he's not afraid to tell you. I mean, I'll tell him all the time when I screwed up and, you know, so, you know, it became a really, and like you said too, we trusted each other. And you know what? I think the biggest thing in a relationship like is like that. And I told him this when we were getting ready to take our wives to dinner before the first game of the World Series. I said, the reason with it that we can get along because neither of us have to be right. And I've seen those situations and those relationships in baseball that and that didn't doesn't always work if you have to be right. Because some people would rather be right than win.
Brad Snicker with us. If we can talk a little bit about your career and the great 49-year run with the Braves, it'll continue. Where did you get the know-how or the advice or the mentorship? You were a hothead, certainly, as a manager. You certainly
I was.
You were a racehorse in the red or whatever. You also were an old school guy. So, you know, the histrionics of players or whether they're wearing chains or whether, you know, they're strutting it after a home run. You were not that guy as a manager, though. And you probably understood at some point some of that has to change. How do you evolve that late in life to realize those are things I can't worry as much about?
You know what? And it is. It's kind of like the players, I always said to my kids, they don't want to be dud-a-da-dud, and the players don't want to be that either. So, and you know what? The kids or the players, probably a little bit after I got this job, they were raised differently than the kids I managed when I first started. I mean, it was just the society that they grew up in was totally different than the guys when I first started managing back in the early 80s. When I was roving and then started managing in 82. And you know what? You have to evolve with them. You have to change with them. And you got to pick your battles. I mean, and believe me, there's a lot of battles to be picked in a sport like this when you're playing 7 months in a row and all that. So, and I was fortunate, you know what, that I had really – I had great mentorship when I was growing up, whether it was managers that I played for, guys like Jim Beachum, Bobby Dews, Bruce Del Canton, Luke Appling when I first started managing, you know, was a Hall of Famer and an unbelievable baseball guy that kind of took me under his wing. Hank Aaron, obviously. There's just so many. And then, you know, to get to go to big league camp with Bobby Cox when he was a manager and he was young and on fire then too and help out and watch him work and then John Schuerholz comes in and kind of, you know what, restructured this organization and you know how we handle things, how we dressed, how we approach things, the professionalism that he demanded. Because I said, I've been blessed to be raised by Hall of Famers and I've been blessed to watch Hall of Famers after they were drafted become Hall of Famers.
Brian Snicker with us on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. I'm wondering if you can tell baseball fans what you learned from winning a World Series with that team as opposed to some of your others. So you win with an 88-win team. You win with Rosario being NLCS MVP, Jock Peterson getting hit, Soler hitting the home run. You don't even have Ronald Acuna. You win 100 games multiple times. Those teams don't go as far. What is it about one team that can capture a championship? What do you learn about baseball and about the postseason? And even for, you know, a lot of great teams that didn't win it for the Braves. And the one that did was your 88-1 team. So what do you learn about baseball?
I know.
Yeah.
It's the, you know what? I used to tell the guys in my first, you know, when I'd get together in the spring training, I said, the big thing is, fellas, you know what? You got to get in because anything can happen after that. And as we saw, I remember sitting around here in 21 over the All-Star break, and I was like sick to my stomach the whole break because I was looking at our record. I said, we weren't treading water. We were underwater with a straw trying to stay alive. And I saw the upcoming schedule after we came out of the break and winning a World Series that year, even winning the division that year was so far away in my mind in July. And then it just kind of, you know, we had the moves at the deadline where we kind of got guys, you know, we got Rosario who was injured and he wasn't even available. We got Soler that wasn't doing great, but he had been doing good prior to us getting him. Then we got Jock. I remember he was, I called him. He was in a jet on an island or something, and he was going to fly in and just barely get there that first day. But it was just things, and you just Eddie Rosario caught that ball in left field in the NLCS or the World Series, one of them. And I said, you know what? Jim Beachum was in his back pocket right there, because I don't even think Eddie saw the ball. And, you know, and then Eddie's the MVP of the NLCS, just getting big hit after big hit. You don't know. In 93, we go in there, we have a season, we're setting all kinds of offensive records, and we went into Philadelphia and laid an egg. I mean, it's just what happens in the postseason. I mean, you're going to watch it right now. I just watched Cleveland just win their first division. We went in there and swept them a couple of weeks ago. They were on the verge of you know, one of the biggest collapses in the history of the game. And now all of a sudden, who knows what they're going to do. So there's no rhyme or reason to the postseason. I mean, it's an entity all to itself, but you have to get in there. And that's what I always told the players. You've got to get in there for something good to happen. If you don't get in, then nothing good can happen, because you never know what's going to happen when you get in.
Brian.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Brian Snicker with Steak and Sandra.
Always great access with Brian right here on the radio station, and always telling you like it is. And again, just curious where they go from here, but his legacy secure, as we said, talked about it yesterday. We'll talk more about it in the 5 o'clock hour, the reaction it got. But you just love the guy. You're going to miss him. And the players, just like with Bobby Cox, just love playing for that man.
All right, coming up, Steve Koonin, Hawks CEO, joins us next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly what people outside of Cleveland think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.